Good morning. Our first reading is Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter the gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Our second reading is from Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing to God with gratitude in your hearts, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Here ends the readings.
Please stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is found in the book of Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we ask that your living word would speak to us once again, that we could experience your presence in it and learn from you. Amen. So the 10 lepers, the 10 outcasts, to have leprosy was a horrible thing back then. The term leprosy here encompasses various skin conditions. It's not the Hansen's disease, well, it was part of that we define leprosy as today, but any outbreak on the skin that could be contagious and spread to others. The leprosy that we know, Hansen's disease, it affects the nerve endings, and as a result, people will lose sensation and will become cut and burned and not even realize it. They can lose fingers and things to infection. It's horrible. You can actually get it from an armadillo or from a certain species of monkey, too, it turns out, as I was researching it. But what this would result in was isolation and rejection by others. The Levitical laws, if we turn back to Leviticus 13, in order to protect the others from this disease so that it would not spread. You know, that's what diseases do, they spread. And these various skin diseases. The law was anyone with such a defiling disease must wear torn clothes, let their hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of their face and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." As long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. They must live alone. They must live outside the camp. To be isolated like that, not able to wash your hair, they were supposed to look like someone you wouldn't want to approach. So torn clothes, unwashed hair, etc. And the isolation again. You know, the physical effects are bad enough, but the emotional and psychological effects of being rejected, of being an outcast, unable to join in. Say family's having a gathering or something like that, you couldn't be there. If you've been married before that, you wouldn't be able to go near your spouse, much less hug them. couldn't join in worship with others. This was horrible. And that's what these 10 men were experiencing. They had to live outside the village. They couldn't go near people. If someone came near them, they had to shout unclean so that no one would get near them. You know, we are to be a welcoming people. Everybody is welcome here. Don't care who you are. And these people, even after being declared clean, and it would happen, they would be cured, and they could show themselves a priest and be declared clean. But even after that, would people look at them the same? You know, not here, okay? No matter what path someone has walked or whatever like that, they are welcome here. And we don't hold anything against anybody, no past, anything like that, no stigmas exist here. But for this, it was very real for these guys. So they formed a little group of 10 where they could, you know, be together, I suppose, and have some sort of support, share their misery with others, perhaps. And they were living along the border between Samaria and Galilee. Now, Samaria, again, was a region where the Samaritans lived, and these were considered the half-breed cousins by the Jews. They were from the northern tribes who had intermixed with the Assyrians and others, and as a result, their religion had been mixed as well. Syncretism is what we would call it. It was not pure in God's eyes and in the Jews' eyes, so they wouldn't anywhere go near a Samaritan or near Samaria. If someone was traveling from Galilee to Jerusalem, the Jews many times, they would go around the long way rather than going anywhere near Samaria. It's sort of like seeing someone walking down the sidewalk and going the other side of the street to avoid them, okay? And this was an extreme. But not Jesus. He met with the Samaritan woman at the well. He cared for the Samaritans as well as the Jews, and he cares for everybody. Again, doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, Jesus cares for you, he loves you, and he wants to give you that big Jesus hug and welcome you on in to be a part of his family. And again, may we be that way as well. So he's traveling along this borderland here. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They're hanging on the outskirts of the village. This was a strategic place for them. The only way they could support themselves was through begging. They couldn't have a regular job. If you make an item, they couldn't give it to anybody because it would be contaminated, right? But being by the gate or the entrance of the village, people are passing by all the time. And thus, they could beg and try to get enough food to survive. So they stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Somehow they had heard about Jesus. Even in their isolation, they had heard about Jesus and what he could do and what he still can do. He still heals. He still delivers. He still brings people in. So they call on him. He's perhaps, you know, their only hope, their last hope. A way that they could be set free. And again, Jesus still sets people free. Amen, he does. Jesus had earlier healed a leper. If you go back a few chapters here. And again, Jesus, no one was supposed to go near a leper. It did not stop Jesus, of course. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Again, having faith in what Jesus can do. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. No one else would go near him. No one else, this guy had not experienced a touch for who knows how long. Didn't stop Jesus. He reaches out and touches him and heals him. He says, "I am willing, be clean." And immediately, the leprosy left him. We're not talking putting on skin lotion and going through different therapies and things like that. Immediately, just it was gone. Only God. Only God. I love it. So he had touched them. Someone who was untouchable. He went and touched them. Didn't matter to him. And then, in this case, he didn't touch him. He simply said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." Many times when he healed someone, he would, you know, lay hands on their eyes or their ears, whatever was afflicted, But here he doesn't even touch him. He just simply says, go, show yourself to the priest. The power of his word. That's all it takes. The power of his word. And as they went, they were cleansed. They didn't have to do anything special. Just believe. You go back to 2 Kings when Naaman, that great soldier, was afflicted with leprosy. And he came and the prophet told him to dip in the Jordan 7 times. You know, he was being stubborn about it. Eventually did and was cured, okay? He had to do something. These guys don't have to do anything. You just have to accept what Jesus has done. And that's us too. We only accept what Jesus has done for us. That he died to take away our sin, to make us clean, to make us pure. We're not lepers, but we are similar in sin. But he's willing to take that away if we simply believe in him and accept what he has done on the cross. We too are cleansed. We too are healed. We too are given a new life as a result of that. The other interesting thing here is when he would heal people, typically it was a one-on-one, him and a blind man, him and a lame man. Here it's a mass healing. Just 10 at once. It's a mass healing. Without even touching him or anything, just saying the words, go show yourself to the priest. They take him at his word. They do what Jesus commands. Important, do what Jesus commands, right? All right, and as they went, they were healed. As they left that place and approached the place where the priests were, along the way, they were healed. You can sort of imagine them going along and, hey, Bob, your skin's looking a little bit better. And as they go a few more steps, hey, Roger, look at that. Your hand has been restored. And they go a little bit more and, you know, it's, hey, Nathan, look at that. Wow. And the further they got, the more they were healed. And they're just rejoicing, you can imagine, that they could be healed, that they could be let back into life, back into relationships, back to their families and everything else that they had lost. They were given their lives back. And Jesus does that. He gives us our lives back. If we turn to him, thank him, accept what he's done and praise him, he gives us our lives back. He restores us as well. We have a new life in Christ. That old life, that past, that's gone. You have a new life in Christ. We are a new creation in Christ. The old is gone, the new has come. 2 Corinthians 5:17, important verse to remember for sure. But one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. And I can imagine he was praising in a loud voice. Again, he was given his life back. He would be able to join with his family. He would be able to experience a human touch, a hug, and all those things that he had been isolated from. This is incredible. Yes, he would be praising God in a loud voice, and the others probably were as they went along too. He threw himself at Jesus' feet. Rather than just walking up to him, shaking his hand, saying, I can't thank you enough. No, he throws himself at his feet. This is giving thanks with all that he is. With everything that he is, giving thanks. Threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. This would have had to hit hard for the Jews that heard about this. That the Samaritan gave thanks, even when the other ones that were Jews did not. Sort of like a parable of the Good Samaritan as well, right? The Jewish priest walks on by, he's not going to have anything to do with someone that's, you know, unclean, that's bleeding, you know, on the side of the road. But a Samaritan stops. Again, it doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter who you are. He came to seek and to save the lost, and that's all of us. So Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Well, the others had done what Jesus said, if you want to look at it. He said to go show yourselves to the priest. That's exactly what they did. Are they doing what Jesus said? Yeah. Did they maybe come back later on and give thanks? We don't know. But this one turned around right away and gave thanks. And we should give thanks as well. Think about what we got as believers. We've got a guarantee that this life is not the end, that something better awaits us. Again, as believers, to those who believe in Jesus. Should we give thanks? Yeah. that Jesus made this way? Were we worthy to go into the presence of God? No. Not a single one of us is worthy. But Jesus makes us righteous. He made us worthy by dying on the cross, by taking our sin upon Him so that we could be cleansed, that we could be set free. And of course, we ought to give thanks. As these men departed, you can imagine the testimony that they had. They could share with others what Jesus had done for them. I would say that each one of us has a testimony as well. We've all been through things. And again, Jesus has made us well as well. So these guys got their lives back. He said, go, your faith has made you well. Faith, again, very important. You've got to have that belief. But they got their lives back. And an encounter with Jesus changed everything. See that many times throughout the Gospels, don't we? Someone that's suffering from this, that, or the other thing. It's an encounter with Jesus that changes everything. That's for us as well. An encounter with Jesus changes everything. So we also should give thanks. And we were doing that this morning by praising Him, by singing. And I could just feel the praise and the joy in those songs. It reminds me of Psalm 100. Just a short psalm, 5 verses, but it says so much. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. That's what we were doing a few minutes ago. We were worshiping Him with gladness. We were coming before Him with joyful songs. We weren't just singing, No, it was praise the Lord, right? And yeah, we're sort of like that leper. Praise the Lord. We've all been delivered as well. We've been given our lives back. And not only life here on earth, but for eternity. And yes, we should shout for joy. We should use joyful songs to praise Him, to worship Him with gladness. And, you know, if some of you like those churches where you just sit there and you read these words and you sing through these songs, you know, hey, that's great. However you meet Him, all right? I think the praise and the joy and the gladness is where you really encounter Him. It works for me anyway. And I just love the music here and the way that we sing and we praise Him. That's what it's all about. It's about praising God. So yeah, worshiping Him, it should be with gladness. And this psalm captures part of that. And this is nothing new. Again, this is written about a couple thousand years ago. People back then worshiping the Lord with gladness. People today worshiping the same God with gladness once again, right? Know that the Lord is God. There is no other. It is He who made us, and we are His. Wow. Those three words, we are His. What comfort. What peace. No matter what's going on in our lives, knowing that we are His, that God's got this. How can we not give thanks? How can we not give thanks? We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. He cares for us. 23rd Psalm, great example, right? The Lord is my shepherd. Not our shepherd, my shepherd. It's a personal thing as well. He watches out for us. He leads us beside the still waters and finds those green pastures, protects us, and has His presence there with us. It's a personal guide, not just some powerful being in a faraway place. Although there is none more powerful, but here with us. If you're a believer, His Spirit dwells within you. It's a part of you. As a result, we can enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Yeah, on the drive in here every Sunday morning, I'm just, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit, but I'm looking forward to worship. I'm getting ready to enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. That we're coming here to praise Him, to thank Him, to worship Him, to give thanks to Him and praise His name. It's all about Him. For the Lord is good. That's an understatement, right? He's good? Okay. Yeah, it's a whole lot more than just being good, okay? He's an awesome God. He's a wonderful God. There is no one better. There is no one higher. The Lord is good and His love endures forever. Always faithful. Yeah, we're going to screw up at times. It's going to happen. We're going to wander. We're going to stray. But He is faithful. He'll be there waiting for us to come back. arms wide open, just ready to give us that big hug and say, "You are mine." Wow. What comfort, what assurance, what peace. We are His. So He is good. His love does endure forever. And His faithfulness continues through all generations. That means there is no end to His faithfulness. How can we not give thanks? And how can we thank Him enough? We can't. We can't, but living a life that shows thanks. And Colossians captured a part of that today. Paul's writing to the people in this letter. He says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." God's presence brings peace. Again, there can be total chaos around us. All kinds of things that the enemy is going to bring against us. But we can walk through it in peace. Let that peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Not other things. His peace. Let it rule. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And I like that, members of one body. You don't walk alone. We don't walk alone. We have other people around us right now. Anybody sitting here right now, if you're going through a tough time, you give them a call and ask, "Hey, would you pray with me?" Pretty much guarantee they will. Not only the people here, but the body of Christ everywhere. There's believers gathered all around the world today. Brothers and sisters in Christ that we've never even met. And we are together with them, members of one body. Being there with each other, being there for each other. We were called to peace. And it says, and be thankful. Okay, again, we can't be thankful enough. We should be like that leper falling at Jesus' feet and just giving thanks. How do we show our thanks? How do we express our thanks? How do we let them know our thanks? Well, we can say it, we can sing it, but we can live it as well. To live a life of thankfulness to God, giving Him the glory in all things, submitting to Him, being humble before Him, and because He has made the way. He is the one that's done it. It's not about us. So be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another. Again, being there with one another, being there for one another. Nobody walks alone. We always make time for others. Doing this with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. When we sing, may it not just be singing words that are on the screen or on a page, but singing to God with gratitude. Again, that thankfulness from our hearts, not just words, but having that attitude of gratitude, like Jill said in Bible study on Tuesday. Living with an attitude of gratitude, giving thanks in all things, giving thanks to God for what He has done and continues to do. And will continue to do because He is forever faithful. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. To Him be the glory in all things, praising and thanking Him. Again, living out that life of praise, a life of thanksgiving for what He's done for us. So give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Amen.